Hey, hey, hey! Welcome back to yet another episode of the AIP podcast. My name is Anne Cheng, and I am CEO of Supercharge Lab. I'm your host on behalf of the AI Partnerships Core on the AIP podcast. And today we have a special guest joining us from InfoSentience, one of the revolutionary companies for data analytics. Please give a warm welcome to Steve Wasik. He is the founder of InfoSentience. And Steve's journey is one which is kind of unique. He is the natural maneuverer of talent because he started his career as a lawyer, trained as a lawyer at NWU, at the Pritzker School of Law, and he initially embarked on a legal career. But for some reason, his path took an unexpected turn when he found himself immersed in the world of technology. He embraced the technology and the opportunity and built InfoSentience. His determination and innovative thinking really paid off when he secured a very significant contract with CBS shortly after launching the company. This pivotal achievement showcased Steve's ability to drive success in the competitive tech industry. And so he built InfoSentience in 2011, a pioneering company that specializes in helping businesses overcome the challenges associated with data overwhelm while delivering customized communications and reports on a massive scale. With a strong focus on fast and efficient data analytics, InfoSentience has quickly become and established itself, become one of the most prominent figures in this industry. And so in this episode, we're going to dive deep into the world of InfoSentience, exploring how these tools simplify complex data analytics. Hey, Steve, what a pleasure to have you here on the show with us.
Hi, Anne. Thanks so much for having me.
Yeah, it's so good to have you. So tell me about your story. This is like the biggest pivot, right? So law to tech, how did that happen?
Yeah, very strange. I had taken a lot of computer programming classes when I was in high school, and I just kind of kept up on it. So I had a little bit of background, but basically I was in my third year of law school, and I was in a fantasy sports football league. And I was like, man, I was pretty busy. And I was like, gosh, I don't really know what's happening in my league. I barely even know what's happening with my own team. And I thought, gosh, it'd be cool if there was a way to sort of report on all the things that were going on in the league, just like you get, reports on the teams that you're following in real life. And I got really excited about this idea and started working on the software to do it. And pretty soon I realized, hey, wait a sec. Like after I'd worked on it for months, I had some pretty cool software. And I realized, hey, actually this is bigger than just reporting on fantasy sports. Like you could use this tech to report on all sorts of different types of data sets. And so I got really excited about it. I was able to raise a small friends and family round to just kind of get off the ground. And so after I graduated, I ended up starting this company. And like you said, we were very fortunate to get this contract with CBS right off the bat and to cover all their fantasy baseball and football leagues, which we've been doing for, now like almost 12 years. And that gave us, the kind of launch point, and we've just kind of tried to go from there.
That's amazing. And you mentioned this during our pre-show chat that you struggled to build your technology. And for what it's worth, oh my God, the amount of pivots that you've made, restarting the build all the way from scratch over 8 times. Tell us more about that and tell us the realities of building AI and large data models.
Yeah, basically I built this system when I was in law school and soon after, and I think it was really quite good that was doing the fantasy product. And after I had launched that, I had this idea for sort of a next generation version that I thought was going to actually have some implications of in the general AI space, right? So it was something that went beyond just sort of reporting, but actual trying to figure out how computers can conceptually understand information. And I didn't think it would take that long because, I did this whole first version, while I was still in school part of the time, and it only took me maybe about 9 months. But as you said, I had to start over from scratch 8 different times. It took about 8 years, and basically every time, more or less, it was about a 1-year process for writing up a new version and then starting over from scratch. And the reason that that happens, I think, is because, you know, you're working towards a goal and you feel like you're really close to the goal. Like each time that I was working on it, I thought I was really close, you know? And it's almost akin to being on like a tree branch though, right? Where it's like the tree branch only goes so far and like you can't keep going. Like once you reach the end of the tree branch, you're done. Like, and if you're not at your goal, the only hope that you have is to go all the way back to the beginning and then try again. And you try to take what you've learned, you know, in that process, right? Like you learn a lot of things and you have a lot of components or the things that you can, you know, try to utilize in, you know, when you make the second or third or fourth or fifth versions, but you do have to kind of start over, go all the way back to the beginning. And this is something that I think, you know, reading about other people that are in the AI space, this is very common, right? Where it's like you have this thing where you feel like you're very close and maybe you are, you know, but that you're 90% of the way there, but that 10%, you can't get there with the tech stack that you have. And so that's, it was very frustrating, but we did finally, you know, get to where we wanted to be about a year and a half ago. And we're so excited with the technology that we have now.
That's amazing. Thanks for sharing the reality, because I think a lot of people don't really see it. So tell us a little bit more about your models. I mean, there's been so much talk about generative AI, and I know that your models are completely different. How did you do this? How did you create the conceptual auto model? And what data did you use? Did you train your own data? How does it work, really?
Yeah, we use what we call conceptual automata, which are these little components that can like basically join together to create larger components. So just to give you a really quick example, you, like from the world of sports, you have a concept of a team, right? And we kind of understand what that is. And we have a concept of a team winning a game, right? And then we have a concept of a streak, right? Like just in general, there could be a streak where there's a sequence of events that are all identical. And you can put those all together and say, okay, this team is on a winning streak, right? Like those are all little components that then come together. And that might be a story. And then that story can be joined up with other stories, right? And all these things can build together into the size of like a full article. And that's how we built our content. It's very different from the world of LLMs where, you know, you're using these, I mean, I won't go into that too much, but basically you're using this gigantic system of weights and it's very sophisticated. It's very cool. But one of the problems with that is that it's probabilistic. So it's really hard to understand exactly how it's coming up with the answers that it's coming up with. It can, you know, sort of hallucinate. It's got some accuracy issues. With our system, because we can kind of like identify every single component, for any given report, we can trace back exactly where, you know, how it, every single part of that was put together. And so that gives us the capability to, you know, work with data and create reports that are geared towards, you know, people that need accuracy and also need the flexibility to very quickly be able to say, hey, I want this to be slightly different and have that, you know, be exactly how it is, right? Like it's very hard to sort of even make changes with an LLM because again, it's kind of a black box. Our system can be accurate and very quickly make changes and alterations.
That's amazing. Tell me a little bit more. So can the conceptual auto model help us solve the inherent issues that generative AI is bringing to us? I mean, specifically, there's been this narrative around the issue of accuracy, relevance, and validation of results. How does your model really help us to resolve these issues?
Well, you know, I mean, just in general, LLMs have trouble dealing with data, period, right? Like they don't necessarily, you can't just necessarily like, hey, here's an Excel spreadsheet and go to work. You can kind of do some of that with like some pretty sophisticated prompt engineering, but even then it can struggle. Again, because our system is sort of determinative, right? Like not probabilistic. It's, you know, that pretty much solves the accuracy issues because it's just like you would with an Excel spreadsheet, right? Like an Excel spreadsheet's determinative, right? And if you put figures in one column and say, hey, take all these figures and multiply it by 5 and put that in the second column, like every one of those answers is going to be correct, right? And so if you have a determinative system, which ultimately ours is, then you can be assured of accuracy just like you would be with any other sort of calculations that you put into a computer.
That's amazing. And, you know, this is so important. How is your technology currently being applied? And tell us a little bit of, you know, the clients and the industries that you've been working with and how your technology is truly changing the game for them?
Yeah, I mean, we've been working with CBS like I said, about almost 12 years. And we started off just doing fantasy reports, but then we've expanded into doing actually like live sports. So we cover like the NBA, European soccer leagues, college football, like all sorts of stuff for CBS. So some of the articles that you might read, if you've read CBS, are actually written by our computer. They, you know, it's kind of white labeled, so you might not know that. But then we have a lot of other verticals that we worked with. We work in the healthcare space doing automated doctor bios. IU Health is one of our big clients there. That's like the largest healthcare organization in Indiana, which is where we're based. Another one of our big clients is the Chicago Mercantile Exchange, where we actually analyze their commodity data. And we've got a really big project coming up with them that's going to be launched in the next like 4 or 5 months. I won't go into it too much, but just keep your eyes open for that. It's going to be really cool. It's going to really showcase a lot of the technology that we've been like kind of keeping hasn't been public facing yet. So that's going to be really cool. Just analyzing their commodity data. We have retail clients like analyzing retail information. We have other finance clients where we analyze stock data. Marketing clients where we analyze like B2C marketing campaigns like on Facebook and TikTok and Shopify and look at all their data. So, I mean, really the technology can be used for any data set. So if you think about, you know, can a human being look at a data set, figure out interesting things to talk about? If that's the case, then our system can do the same thing and write about it like a human being would. It can add visualizations, actually even literally give a video presentation. Like we can automatically create that. So we really feel like we've created essentially an analyst in a box that can do anything that a human analyst can do with data.
That's amazing. Well, I think that's all the time we have for today. But Steve, what would you say to any aspiring entrepreneur trying to make the switch from a non-technical career to becoming an entrepreneur in technology, specifically in AI?
Oh my goodness. AI is dangerous right now, I would say, because these LLMs are moving so quickly. It's really hard to kind of jump into the space with the hope of like having enough time to build something out that's really cool. And also hoping that like in the meantime, LLMs don't take, you know, like figure out how to do what you're doing. So I'd honestly just say don't. That would be my main advice, or to kind of like work off of the tools that are existing. Right. But even that, like things like prompt engineering and stuff like could be dangerous because like the things that require prompt engineering today might be intuitive to those LLMs like 2 years from now, right? So it's hard, I think, to come up with something that really has a big moat, you know, like they talk about in VC land, like that has some sort of where it's difficult for your competitors to catch up. So I don't know. I would say, I guess, like if you have these other skills, one of the things that you can focus on is something that's not necessarily as much technology driven, but really driven by customer, like how you work with customers, right? Like, do you do a good job like meeting their needs? Do you do a good job with sales? Things like that. I think, you know, if you have a non-technical background, you might have experience with that. And so you could try to leverage that rather than trying to sort of take on these gigantic organizations with their AI technology. I think it's going to be more about ideally trying to find ways to differentiate yourself on a non-technical side of things.
That's amazing. Well, Steve, thank you for being on the show with us. And to all our loyal listeners who tune in to all our shows, thank you for joining me once again. I am your host, Anne Che, founder of Supercharge Lab. And on behalf of the AI Partnerships Corp, I am signing off. Godspeed.
Thanks so much, Anne.